Chiyo-san, could you please go out and buy me some new shamisen strings and a few kabuki magazines? She had been instructed to read kabuki magazines for the sake of her education. Then I heard her say, in an even louder voice, "Is that all right, Auntie?" But Auntie didn't answer, for she was upstairs taking a nap. I left the Okia and walked along the Shirakawa stream to the arched bridge leading to the Motoyoshi-cho section of Gion. With the weather so warm and lovely, quite a number of men and geisha were strolling along, admiring the weeping cherry trees whose tendrils drooped onto the surface of the water. While I waited near the bridge, I watched a group of foreign tourists who had come to see the famous Gion district. They weren't the only foreigners I'd ever seen in Kyoto, but they certainly looked peculiar to me, the big-nosed women with their long dresses and their brightly colored hair, the men so tall and confident with heels that clicked on the pavement. One of the men pointed at me and said something in a foreign language, and they all turned to have a look. I felt so embarrassed I pretended to find something on the ground so I could crouch down and hide myself. Finally, Mameha's maid came, and just as I'd feared, she led me over the bridge and along the stream to the very same doorway where Hatsumomo and Corinne had handed me the kimono and sent me up the stairs. It seemed terribly unfair to me that this same incident was about to cause still more trouble for me, and after so much time had passed. But when the maid rolled open the door for me, I climbed up into the gray light of the stairway. At the top, we both stepped out of our shoes and went into the apartment. "Chiyo is here, ma'am," she cried. Then I heard Mameha call from the back room, "All right, thank you, Tatsumi." The young woman led me to a table by an open window where I knelt on one of the cushions and tried not to look nervous. Very shortly, another maid came out with a cup of tea for me, because as it turned out, Mameha had not one maid, but two. I certainly wasn't expecting to be served tea, and in fact, nothing like this had happened to me since dinner at Mr. Tanaka's house years earlier. I bowed to thank her and took a few sips so as not to seem rude. Afterward, I found myself sitting for a long while with nothing to do but listen to the sound of water passing over the knee-high cascade in the Shirakawa stream outside. Mameha's apartment wasn't large, but it was extremely elegant, with beautiful tatami mats that were obviously new, for they had a lovely yellow-green sheen and smelled richly of straw. If you've ever looked closely enough at a tatami mat, you'd notice that the border around it is edged in fabric, usually just a strip of dark cotton or linen, but these were edged in a strip of silk with a pattern of green and gold. Not far away, in an alcove, hung a scroll written in a beautiful hand, which turned out to be a gift to Mameha from the famous calligrapher Matsudera Koichi.